your engineer.
Oh, you're already recording? You recording this?
Turn up the gain. Turn up the gain a little. Maybe that works.
This way? Does that sound better?
Other way.
Does that sound better? Better
that or sounds... I know. It's like an eye test. A or B?
One or two?
Or slightly the same.
WST Podcast, Busted Brackets. Ben, I had Illinois and Purdue go into the Final Four in the same bracket.
Oh, I tried to get cute K-Win this year. I didn't go with my gut. I thought it would be a little more chalk. I had one of my customers today I was talking to said he picked based on his favorite colors. Ooh. And in the company, there's 130 people. He was number four.
Wow.
So obviously his favorite colors were green, red, and orange.
Yeah.
I mean, it's that type of year.
It's that type of year. Illinois lost to Loyola of Chicago. Purdue, it should be called Purdue, lost to the mean green North Texas. Brackets busted everywhere. But I still have a chance because you've got to do more than one bracket. And I still have... the Zags beating Houston. That's my only chance.
Ooh, I only got one bracket in this year. This was the sole one I was riding, and I am solely disappointed. But if you look at my bracket, Midwest, I had no idea. Who cares about the Midwest anyway? South, very little idea. I still got Baylor coming out. My East, not so great. I think Florida State's going to come out. You look at my West, K-Win, look at that. Clean as a whistle. Clean as a whistle.
Woo! You know who had the best bracket of all time? Best pick of all time? Mr. Bill Walton. He picked five teams to the Final Four. That is not possible, but he still could get three out of the four because we have UCLA in the East. We have either Oregon or USC potentially coming out of the West. They'd have to take down Gonzaga. And then behind me, my Oregon State Beavs in the Midwest. The Pac-10, Big Ben. The Pac-12 is 11-1. Four teams of the Sweet 16. Wow.
I heard Scott Van Pelt say something very, very credible, which is rare in my opinion. He said Bill Walton must have been on something, and I think he was. And it was a 20-milligram edible or something that induced him to pick all Pac-12, but he looks good at this point. He's probably winning his bracket pool.
Easily. And my favorite, it's the uninvited guest, the Beavs. They were picked last to finish in the Pac-12, got in through the tournament, beat Tennessee, blew them out, and then beat Oklahoma State and Cade Cunningham, who could be the number one pick overall. The Beavs now play Loyola of Chicago. They could be going to the Elite Eight, Big Ben.
Oh, it's Loyola looks good. Sister Jean. Am I right in that? Is it Sister Jean?
She's 101.
102. And you could see she's got the little flower on her arm. She's doing fist bumps after each win. Their center looks legit. I get him confused with the center. No, I don't. He's got the stash.
My buddy Nick, who listens to the podcast, he said the Loyola center looks like someone that changed his water heater last weekend.
Hey, he plays below the rim, but he is feisty. He's got the passion. But you know who the Beavs have another big man who I don't want to talk about now because I'll get into it. My all first and second round NCAA picks, Big Ben's all first team, first two rounds, whatever you want to call it, WST podcast picks. But that should be a good matchup. And Trace Tinkle, the son of Mr. Tinkle, the coach, he was in the stands. He was his sisters, his mom. The ironic thing is everyone thought when Trace came to school, they had lauded recruits. He had attracted players to come with them. They would make the tourney. They'd make a run. Oddly enough, as soon as he graduates, Mr. Tinkle says, I don't care about the regular season. I want to win the Pac-12, and I want to win some NCAA games, and that's what they've done. Corvallis, congrats. And Oregon on the other end, COVID hits VCU. Thankfully, that's the only game that they've missed.
Yeah.
But you could see that I texted you and I said, Oregon just looks fresher. I mean, they are up and down the court. Their Garza couldn't keep up. Duarte looked phenomenal. That whole team, I mean, it was dunks. It was three-pointers. They just looked a little more fresh. So if there's a year for the Pac-12, and unfortunately VCU, the team that you had as your dark horse in your picks, gets bitten by COVID, and there is some sort of correlation there between you picking them as your dark horse, all the better for the Pac-12. What games really surprised you outside of just the traditional, I guess, Ohio winning, Ohio State losing, the entire state of Ohio in disarray now because they don't have anyone in the dance anymore? What surprised you most?
The Big Ten. They need to put on my camo hat and hide because they look bad. They're going to get some lashing. They're going to hopefully take the downfall – or not the downfall. Hopefully they won't be able to get some of the top recruits. Hopefully they'll come out west because you got the Pac-12. San Diego State didn't show well, but UCSB should have won that game. That was a very good game. And then, of course, you have Gonzaga, the Bulldogs. But I love Syracuse. I know you're going to get into them a little bit later. I like them. Michigan playing well without Livers, one of their best players, a dynamic player who can shoot the three. They're playing well. And I know it's out of our jurisdiction, but Florida State looks good, man.
Florida State, I had them in the Final Four. I think the funny part that you and I traded texts about was just the coaching and how that was the difference in a lot of these games. I'll take Oral Roberts, for example. I think the head coach said, hey, we had 60 games of NCAA experience on this coaching staff collectively. Now, not at the head coaching level, but at the assistant coaching level. And it shows,
yeah,
like preparing for different events, right? We got the ball. We have a timeout. Rather than run down, try to shoot, let's take a timeout. Let's advance the ball. Sets when you're against the press. Don't run to the corner, throw it in the corner, and then get trapped and try to throw the ball out of bounds. I mean, there's teams that look prepared and ready to go, such as the likes of Oral Roberts and Loyola, who had been there before. And then there's teams that didn't, like Ohio State. I got ran by Oral Roberts, which was great to see in my opinion.
Yeah, we talked about it. We texted about it. We picked up the phone and FaceTimed about it. I call it the three factors of being an NCAA coach. You got to be able to recruit. You got to be able to develop the players. And then it's X's and O's. And one or two can get you to the tournament, but the only way you're going to advance is through the X's and O's. Like if you take North Texas versus Purdue – couldn't get the ball inbound, threw the ball away. Once North Texas got, the ball was wide. It was in the hands of Javion Hamlet. ISO bucket. He got whatever he wanted based on what they drew up. On one set, the guy came up, faked to set the screen, flared away, and they're just getting to what they want. And it comes down to coaching every time. Florida, I forgot who they beat in round one. They had to go to OT. But they couldn't convert down the stretch. They couldn't get the ball in. It's executing not only after a timeout, it's executing when you come back from like a commercial break, but then just getting your right sets in different transition in different parts of the game.
I agree with you. And I think one thing's apparent going into this season, everyone, you know, Pac-12 delayed. They didn't play as many games. That probably what hurt us maybe a little. I don't know if there's a team that you could – Bill Walton actually said all 12 teams should have been in, which I agree with.
Yes.
Get the Cougs in the men's NCAA. Shout out to the women on the Cougs side. They put up a good fight against South Florida, but lost. But the Pac-12 didn't play as many games as most of these teams, which I think has subsequently, a lot of teams don't have a lot of film on them, one. And two, we're seeing that athleticism and like just having your legs underneath you and being fresher is helping them, quite honestly. Like Oregon, like I said, against Iowa. Now, Oregon didn't have to play that first game, but the Beavs, too. They just look fresher throughout. So, advantage Pac-12. Let's see if they can carry it out. I'm sure we're going to do another episode summarizing the Sweet 16 and Elite 8, talk about who's going to get to the Final Four. Big matchups coming up this weekend, Saturday, Sunday. But overall, it's been a tournament like no other. The first round was, we saw every seed win a game except for the 16th seed. which is crazy.
Yeah.
And then you think about the storyline, it's like around Loyola, people should have seen that coming. Like they might be the best team in, I believe they're in Illinois, right? So for them to beat Illinois is pretty great. And then what you're also seeing is I'm wearing Matt Santangelo's Hooptown. And there's a reason for this, K-Win. Watched Eastern Washington play against Kansas, Kansas gets five-star recruits, Bill Self-Destruction, like you called him, gets five-star recruits every year to Lawrence. Eastern, you know, they're probably the fourth best school, maybe second best come season end to Gonzaga, but they're in Cheney, they're local to Spokane, they're building something there. And you saw a couple brothers who, again, I might mention later on in this episode, highlight just what they can do. So it's great to see the city of Spokane, Cheney. I heard talks on the podcast with Robert Sacre.
How far is Cheney from Spokane?
It's probably 20, 30 minutes, I believe. Okay. So they talked about how the center building in the city was lit up in Eastern colors one night and then Gonzaga colors the next night. So there's excitement over on the east side, obviously. The Western, honestly, I feel like there's just no NCAA drama. Cougs aren't in it. Huskies didn't even sniff the tournament. But yet you have the entire state of Oregon with two teams left. Yeah. And then, you know, we almost had two teams left in Eastern and Spokane on the eastern side of the state. So.
And shout out to Shante Leggins, played his college ball at Cal. He's the coach of Eastern, doing a great job.
Great job. They look good.
Let's get into your players.
Okay.
Who did you like?
I'm going to do something a little different. I'm going to pull out my whiteboard.
All right.
And I'm not doing X's and O's, K-Win. We're going to do a little Pictionary.
Okay. Am I supposed to guess your player?
It's going to be a little Jimmy Fallon style if you have that music, cue it up, and I'll jump down and draw something. So I'm going to start. Give me 5 seconds per.
So you're just going to be drawing, no words, right? I just have to guess off of the action figure.
Mm-hmm.
This should be interesting. We have not rehearsed this, folks, so this could go great or it could go awful. Every day, like twice a day during tournament time. I was telling J-Mo, I'm like, I love it when you go do something and Char's busy because Ben and I just talk all day long. And Ben and I had our best day.
Okay, here is – so can you see this?
Yeah, raise it a little bit.
So what
it looks like a stick figure.
No, let's start read left top to bottom, left to right, top to bottom. So what is this color?
It's blue wave.
Blue. Then blue. With what? A blue with a little arrow to what?
I can't see that. Something that's yellow. Is that a
Yep, blue to yellow. And then he's a hooper.
Red?
Yeah, but that's just...
So do I have to name the player?
Name the player.
Okay. Can I get some facial hair or something on him?
He's got a headband on.
It's, what's his name from Washington? It's no. Tanner Groves.
Nope. Take away the... Blue to the yellow is key. Think
yellow.
Of the arrow as like a transfer portal.
But what's yellow? What signifies yellow?
That's the color of the school.
It's not Cal because they're awful.
They're in the tournament, Kyle. They played three games.
Oregon? Michigan? Oh,
we're a West Coast podcast. These are all West Coast guys. You are horrible at this game.
Well, you're drawing stick figures.
Well, let's think about this. He goes from blue to yellow. He's in the NCAA tournament, and he has played three games, and he wears a headband, and he's the top scorer for this team so far.
Is this UCLA?
There we go.
Johnny Juzang?
Yeah!
Where's the red come out? Where's the red come out?
I didn't have the right markers. All right, Johnny Zang's my number one. Played three games, averaging 20 points a game. The former Kentucky Wildcat transferred. He gets on the court from year one. He doesn't get held out for any years, and he's proved vital for the success of the UCLA Bruins. All right, my next one.
Okay. So are you going like by position or just top five players?
I'm just doing top five players regardless of position.
Okay. I'm going to go through four more of these drawings.
Yep. Bear with me. They're going to be, oh man, I don't have a specific color. Let's go with this. Let's go with that.
Johnny Jazang's running mate, Jaime Jaquez. He's playing well too. Can shoot.
Let's do this. Let's do this. And let's do this is a jersey color. Boom. That's a jersey. We'll give him some eyes.
Okay.
Who is this individual?
Is that Tanner Graves?
No. Come on. Here, I might need to emphasize this a little more. That's not strong enough.
Is he shooting?
There we go. There we go.
I don't know who this is. Oh, it's Drew Timmy.
Yay, Drew Timmy. The force inside, lefty, righty, spin moves. The guy plays a little bit below the rim, but that mustache is scary. He's got it down as a handlebar. Kispert's been inside. Suggs has been outside. But Drew Timmy's been the force down on the block for the Zags. All right.
30 points. He had a career high last game.
He did. And everyone thought that he wasn't big enough. He reminds me a little of Sabonis, but I don't know if that's – I think that's his ceiling. I think his floor is probably someone Mark Madsen style. Okay. I don't know if I have the right – I don't have the right color for this, but let me go with this.
One Bulldog.
Yep. Let me go with this. This is a tall dude, so – that's a hint for you.
Did all these players win at least two games?
All but one. God, this guy's hard. I think he's got. Loser. Oh, you need to reward this guy.
I thought for sure you were going to be some Eastern Washington guys in the first two.
No, this is – we're getting there. We're getting there. I'm giving you too many hints. Okay. This one's a lot tougher. Actually, I know for a fact he's got a little of this going. He's got a little scruff. But if you just look behind you, you can probably picture this guy. That's a hint.
Does he play for USC?
Look behind you.
Beavers. Ramon Silva.
Yes.
7-footer.
Ramon came in averaging 5 points and put up, I think, 18 in that first win. He's been a beast in the middle for the Beavers. Big reason that they moved on and won two games in the tournament so far. Okay. Two more.
Okay. We've got two big guys and a shooting guard.
I know. We need some versatility.
At the Twin Towers down low.
We need some versatility.
And how did you not pick one of the big guys who played from USC?
Jeez.
Oh, I knew you had to pick him. He's unbelievable.
Well, then let me just draw these two lines, and you have to pick which one it is.
Evan Mobley.
There we go. Evan Mobley. He hasn't hit. He isn't intimidated. In fact, his older brothers look maybe slightly better than him. Whoa. But Evan, although he has a Durant build, has definitely held his own down in the paint for the USC Trojans. And here's my question. Andy Offelt, what is his last name?
That sounds about right. Einfeld.
I think so. Char called out that he might have been wearing a bro, but I think it's a back brace. We might need to look into that. Regardless, USC looked like they had more energy, they had more talent, and they're putting it together. I think the O'Bannon brothers and the Mobley brothers might have a similar storyline come the end of the tournament. All right, last one. I'm just going to put this up here. Who is this? You've already mentioned who it should be.
Tanner Groves.
Guy had 35 points. Single season high or season career high for him. He made 5 3-pointers, 8 of 9 from the line, 11-18. I mean, the guy was a beast for Eastern against Kansas. Kansas hadn't seen a center like him unless they played Iowa. So Tanner's on my first team as well. That's my starting five.
He's from Spokane. Mark Few may have missed out on him.
Mark Few might have missed out on him. And you know what? He's got a brother. Tanner's a junior. His brother's a sophomore. So who's the coach? Former Cal.
Shante Leggins.
They're going to be good for at least one more year. I'm excited. We need to get to Cheney. Go Eagles.
Go Eagles. Well, let's wrap this up. We've got Saturday, Oregon State versus Loyola. So Oregon State beat Ohio State. Loyola runs that motion offense with Cameron Kretzwick.
Yes, that's his name. Good job.
And they're going to have to shut him down or slow him down to win. I got the Beavs going to the Elite Eight. Moving on to Sunday, you got Creighton Gonzaga, Oregon USC, UCLA Bama. Wow. I don't think anyone's going to slow down Gonzaga. USC did beat Oregon earlier in the year, but I saw Oregon and the way they played against Iowa, and it was a track meet. They sped up the game. They shot threes. They're up and down the court. USC's Achilles heel, if it is anything, it's their guards. I know they did hit 11 threes last game, but I see Oregon winning that. I don't think UCLA is going to win. I got Bama winning over UCLA, unfortunately.
Bama shot the lights out in their second round game. And if UCLA can limit that, but the thing about UCLA is playing their fourth game now of this tournament. So that's tough, right? I believe USC has the talent. I think they have the defense. I think Oregon's a little more athletic, and I don't know if Oregon was at full strength when they originally lost to USC. So I could see the Ducks winning that game. I would love to see a Ducks Zags. That would be
awesome.
That would be amazing for the Pac Northwest just in general. If UCLA can squeak by Bama and take on Florida State, that would be another amazing East Coast, West Coast matchup. Baylor looked phenomenal. I don't see them losing a game, probably making it to the championship. When all said and done, if we get a Gonzaga Baylor final, like everyone predicted, phenomenal season.
I texted you and everyone else. I underestimated Baylor's guards and the mullet. Oh. I mean, the combo of their guards and that sharpshooter, I can't forget his name.
All right. He's like the glue. He's like a poor man's Adam Morrison. He does. Like this kind of stretch 3-4, weird fallback threes, steal some balls, block some shots. Like
throw some lobs.
Exactly. Whoo. All right, Big Ben and Kay win. Round one, round two. You got my top five players from the long weekend that it was. And charge around this week. So weekend Kay wins, so you're going to miss out on. By the way, we didn't FaceTime either. You didn't fire up your iPad soon enough. So
I know. I'm sorry. WST Podcast at WST_podcast, Instagram and Twitter. We're also on No Filter Network. We got some live shows. Please sign up. Please support us. We need to pay for Big Ben's drawing lessons because those stick figures were god awful.
Oh.